fear. There is nothing to 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 fear.
This is from the Course in Miracles. These are the guidelines for the Course. From the workbook. Remember only this for this hour. They're having a party out there. Remember only this. You need not believe the ideas. You need not accept the ideas. You need not even welcome the ideas. How many of you are pretty successful at that? Not believing it, not accepting it, and not welcoming it.
Not sometimes.
And not remembering it. What about some of the ideas you may actively resist? Some of the ideas you may actively resist.
Like there is nothing to fear.
Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe, and others may seem to be quite startling. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe, and others may seem to be quite startling. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe, and others may seem to be quite startling. Some of the ideas you will find hard to believe, and others may seem to be quite startling. You are not asked to judge the ideas at all. You're not asked to analyze the ideas at all. Using the ideas will give the ideas meaning to you. Using the ideas will show you that the ideas are true. Using the ideas will show you that the ideas are true. Using the ideas will show you that the ideas are true. Using the ideas will show you that the ideas are true. Using the ideas will show you that the ideas are true. Using the ideas will show you that the ideas are true. Using the ideas will show you that the ideas are true. Using the ideas will show you that the ideas are true. Okay. Now, we're going to continue with the section that we were in last Thursday, which was looking within. This is a very, very powerful section, because this section is just full of laws of manifestation. And it's on page 231. And what I want to do so that we can get blocks of the thought is that I'm going to cover some of it, and then I'm going to throw it open for questions rather than just try to answer questions as I read. Because the Course can bring up so many questions that you don't really get the thought out. So what I want to do is take up where I left off on Sunday. Which is paragraph 7. It says, I said before that what you project or extend is up to you. What you project or extend is up to you. What you project or extend is up to you. What you project or extend is up to you. But you must do one or the other. You're either going to project, see it outside yourself, or extend and see it as a part of your own mind. You're either going to blame or you're going to accept responsibility. You're going to project and see it as everybody else's fault, or you're going to extend and be aware that you have a relationship with everything around you. You're going to do one or the other, because it says right next to it, that's a law. It's a law of mind. And here's the law. You must look in before you look out. You must look in. Before you look out, you must look in your mind before you look out. And then he says, as you look in, this is where everything works. You look on the inside of your mind. You choose the guide for what you're going to see, which is love or fear, separation or oneness. And then you look out and you behold the witnesses. So we're sitting here right now. No matter what you perceive in here, how you interpret what I'm saying, what's going on in this room right now, that happened after you looked inside your own mind then after looking inside your own mind, you determined what you were going to see. Either love, fear, separation or oneness, peace or conflict, feel okay or don't feel okay, wish I was somewhere else, wish I was here. First, we look inside our own mind, and then he says, then you look out, and then you see the witnesses that reflect the God you've chosen. If I've chosen that I want to see love when I look around this room, then I look inside my mind, choose for love, look at you, and feel appreciation. If I've decided that I want to judge and I want to feel separate, then I'm going to look inside my mind, look for justification for that, use that as a guide, and then project that on everybody around here. Okay? That's the law. Then it says, that's why you find what you seek. Because the truth is, you're finding what you're thinking. You're finding what you're thinking. But most of our thought is not conscious. Most of our thought is unconscious. So what you think, the Course says, isn't even what you're thinking. It's not even your real thought. You know, what we think we're thinking are just images we're making up based on what we've learned and experienced in the past, projecting that out, and then saying those are our thoughts. But those are just images we're making up. Thought is something totally different. Then it says, now this is really deep. This is so deep, it's deep. That's how deep it is. It's deeper than deep. But see, I like to take the Course and experience the Course instead of analyzing the Course. So are you clear that if whatever you're looking at in this room right now, this is deep, I'm telling you. You think you're seeing me, but you're not seeing me. I guarantee you're not seeing me. Because like I've often said, if you were seeing me, you'd be like in tears of joy. You were seeing me, you just feel so much love for me, just your heart would be bursting. You're not seeing me. You're seeing what you're telling yourself about me. And you're feeling what you're making yourself feel about me or anyone in this class or this whole room. Whatever's going on right now, it's you determining what you're seeing. Period. The Course says the way you can tell that you're seeing what you're making up is because when you see, you only see love. And if you see anything beside love, you're seeing what you made up. And what you're making up is the ego. Especially if you don't really know the person. It's like, if we don't really know each other personally, then we shouldn't have a judgment of each other at all. Which means we should be walking in the room with totally open hearts, open minds, giving everybody the benefit of the doubt, especially the ones that we don't have a personal relationship with. There shouldn't be no judgment going on if you don't know me. Okay? So I'm really seeing my past. Since I have a lot of cool experiences with loving people, then when I look out, then my perception is that I'm looking at some more loving people. But if you're the person that all you get and go through is hell all day, that you create drama for yourself all day, and you create conflict and distrust and suspicion and fear. When you sit down, that's what you see in every stranger you look at. Somebody else you feel like you need to be cautious about. Like, you know, what do I really want? Am I really real? You know. So here's the law again. It says, what you want in yourself, you will make manifest. And you will accept it, what you want from yourself, from the world. So a person accepts from other people what they think they deserve. That explains the people you can't get away from. And the people you want to stay with. It's funny how you get in relationships sometimes and you try to be what you think the other person wants you to be in order to keep the relationship. Have any of you heard of that? Has anybody ever done that? And and I've experienced that in my relationship life, you know. And then, especially if the person thought they was insecure, and then I was studying with them and working with them, and and if they're being anything other than themselves, as they begin to claim their power and recognize who they really are, they're less inclined to compromise or to do anything you want them to do. They become more inclined to be true to themselves. And so you start to see who they really are and what they really want. Sometimes you grow closest as a result of that. Sometimes you seem to separate as a result of that because you're being real with each other, you know. And it's been amazing how many women I've helped get strong enough to leave me.
I'm good.
Well, I'm going to claim my past in my own way, and thanks because of what you taught me. I now believe in myself. Because in the beginning, we have a tendency to fake it and not be our genuine, authentic selves because of fear of loss and insecurity. So you may discover you're somebody other than who you think you are when you start to recognize who you are. And you begin to see how many of your desires were desires that you accepted that weren't your own, and how many desires are coming from your heart. And you may find out that that's something different. So when you're on the path of truth, then that means all illusion must be revealed. And that's what kind of took people out at first. Because when you get into the truth, which is the real, then everything that's unreal reveals itself. So you see the unreality of your relationship if there's any unreality in it. You see the unreality of what you do for a living if you're not being truthful. You see the unreality of your bank account. You see the unreality of your spirit. Whatever way you're fooling yourself, it's revealed. That's an important thought to keep in mind if you're going to be on this path of knowledge and truth. You know, it's like the mind goes, oh, it's just going to be all roses and just I'm just going to skip through this. It's like, no, it's going to become that way. But in the beginning, you have to see where you're deceiving yourself, because where you're deceiving yourself is where your pain is located. And so wherever your pain is located is where you're fooling yourself the most. So the most unhappy area of your life is the area of your life that you're lying to yourself the most about. Okay? So the next thing, now this is going to be a very interesting statement to try to get. But I tried. He says, when you think you are projecting what you do not want, it's still because you do want it. When you think you're projecting what you don't want, it's because you still want it. And what you think you are projecting what you do not want is still because you do want it. So this leads directly to dissociation. Now, what is dissociation? Well, dissociation represents the acceptance of two goals, each perceived in a different place, separated from each other because you've made the two goals different. For instance, I'll give you an example. The Course says we believe that guilt serves a useful purpose and innocence serves a useful purpose. So we got two goals. The average person thinks they're a good person if they feel guilty about stuff, and the average person thinks they're a good person if they can feel innocent about stuff. So we think we need both of them. So that's two goals. We think it's okay to feel love, but I also think it's okay to feel suspicion and fear. That's two goals. I think lack is real, and I think abundance is real. That's two goals. I think oneness is real. We are all one. But guess what? We are all separate. That's two goals. And whichever one you are identifying with at the moment, the other one becomes your subconscious thought. Got it? So wherever I'm at, if I feel guilty today, my innocence is under the table and it's hidden. If I feel innocent and loving today, then my fear is under the table, hidden. Y'all with me? Because I believe in both of them, but we have a tendency to believe that we believe whatever we believe in the moment.
Yeah.
So I asked you how you doing yesterday. You said, oh, it's great. Everything is great. I'm doing just fine. And I tell you, I don't feel real good. You said, what? That's negative. You shouldn't be that way. You just should feel great. Because that's the way I feel. Next day, I want to commit suicide. And so I walk in. What's wrong with you? Well, I'm all depressed. I was the same guy that was happy yesterday. But now I'm depressed today. Now my happiness that I had yesterday is hidden. We got two goals. Okay? Now this is a very important point from the course. I'm identifying with my peace. I'm denying my fear. Because now I'm positive. Right? So what I am in denial about becomes projected into my physical world, and my physical world reflects back to me my secret thoughts. That's how I end up being a good person in a lousy world, or a good person in a bad relationship. You know, how did I end up in the opposite situation or circumstance for myself? And why can't I get away from it? Well, the reason why I can't get away from it is that it is my secret thought. It's my own secret thought. So I'm drawn to it. So the Course says, like what is it? We got two goals, love or fear, perceived in a different place, separated from each other because I made them different. I'm loving. You're fearful. I can be trusted. You can't. See, I got two goals, but I'm perceiving them in different places, separate. Now this is going on in the mind. Everything that the Course in Miracles is talking about, it's talking about states of mind. It's very important to understand that the Course is all about correcting the perceptions in our mind. That the Course is about the mind. It's about the mind because it teaches that you can't really get to who you really are until you learn how to undo the fear and separation within your mind. And then once that's done, that's when the learning starts. The Course says at the end of it, it's not the end. It says, this is the beginning. You just came out of the basement to the first floor. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, I did the Course. No, you're just about to do the Course. Because you're not going to really do the Course of Love until you learn how to undo fear and separation. So the Course is really preparing us for the real deal. Got to get my mind straightened out before my heart can open up. I got to get my mind straightened out before I open up to you. So the first job is to clear up my mind, correct my perception. So once my perception is corrected, then my mind and my heart can join. And when your mind and heart are joined, that's wholeheartedness. And let me tell you, your heart is a much, much better guy than your mind. You better believe that. No, it's the truth. It's the truth. People will do things out of love for you when they don't understand you. Mm-hmm. But people who are all in the mind, they got to always think it through before they can love you. I much rather have somebody love me who doesn't think the way I necessarily think than have a bunch of people who think the way I think, but I don't have no loving connection with none of them. It's just a bunch of heads together. You have to watch that with these kind of groups. That they don't just become a bunch of heads together. Yeah. It's all about the analyzation of it. It's not about we're here to love each other and to appreciate each other. Can I understand this? And if your interpretation of the Course, well, I agree with that. Is that true? Do I see it the same way you see it? Like, blah, 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 blah. Like, why are you doing all that stuff? You and I could be having lunch together, supporting each other, reminding each other that we're beautiful and we're innocent and we're holy and we deserve to be loved. That's the only reason why we're in each other's life. So I say it again. First you look inside, decide what you want to see, then you project it out into the world, and then you see it. The Course says we have two goals. We believe in separation, oneness, love, and fear. Abundance and lack. So he says right there, so he says what happens is, if you look at sentence 8, paragraph 7, it says, the mind then sees a divided world outside itself. That's what we see. It looks like to me I see a divided world outside myself. Anybody else see a divided world? See, the Course, you don't have to analyze the Course. It's always talking about exactly what we're experiencing. You see a divided world outside yourself, yeah or nay? You have feelings of peace and you have feelings of conflict sometimes, yeah or nay? You have a mind that you use to think and determine what you see. Yeah or nay? See, that's the experience of the course. You don't have to analyze it. Everything it's saying, we're doing. That's what I love about it. Then it says, your mind then sees a divided world outside itself. But guess what? Not within. I see all the division and everything outside of myself, but I still think I'm pretty much not divided. I'm pretty much sure what I want, and that I'm a good person, I'm a peaceful person, and I'm a loving person. I don't see the division inside my own mind the way I see it in everything else outside my mind. Do you? Don't you see more division outside than inside? Don't you see more differences outside than inside? Yeah. So then it says, well, this gives your mind the illusion of integrity. In other words, it makes you, it enables your mind to think it's pursuing one goal. It looks like, well, all I want is peace, but I'm looking at all these other things in the world that don't necessarily reflect it. Yeah, that's because, like it just said, I see the divided world outside myself. And I see it as split outside of myself, but I only want one thing. I just want love. I just want peace. I just want abundance. I just want forgiveness. But I see a lot of other stuff going on out there. So let's go to the next sentence. Course in Miracles. This is my 26th year of sharing the course. Those of you who are studying the book and you've made the decision that that is indeed the path that you want to master, please take advantage of 26 years of obsession with the book. I can save you some time. I know the tricks. And believe me, if you're new, you're going to be tricked. Because you're going to take the course, if you're typical, and you're going to try to fit the course into the way you already think.
Yeah.
And you're going to take the definitions you've learned, and you're going to try to project them on the course. So when you hear God, you put your image of God. If you hear Christ, you put your image of Christ. If you hear happiness, you put your image of happiness. Whatever you look at it on the page, you're going to give it your definition. And that's where the fear and conflict comes from, because it has its own interpretation of all the terms. So that's why you have to read it to get it. Or we like to take a little bit of what we like and then throw away the rest. Because the stuff we don't like is usually our idol. It's usually the thing we're doing that we don't want to stop doing yet. And that's why it irritates us. That's why it irritates us when it says it. You know. If you haven't had a chance to sign the Miracles mailing list, would you please do it? I want to get an update of who's coming. And also who's present. Okay. He says, as long as you perceive the world is split, you are not healed. Also, the course reads circular. If you notice, it says, as long as you perceive the world is split, you are not healed. As long as you perceive the world is split, you are not healed. As long as you perceive the world is split, you are not healed. It reads in a circle. You can make a circle out of any of the sentences. So, do you see the world is split? Do you see division? Do you see differences? Do you see fear? Do you see separation? You are not healed. And so then my ego goes, oh, I'm not healed. And then the Course says, well, what do you think the Course in Miracles means when it says healed? Well, the Course in Miracles says to heal means to undo fear. So, you see, so it's saying we see differences in the world, which means that we haven't completely had our fear and separation undone in our minds and hearts yet. That's what it means when it says you are not healed. It means I still got some fear in my heart, I still got some belief in separation in my heart, and I see myself as different from you deep down inside in my heart. There's still some parts of me that don't recognize my relationship and my oneness with you in my mind. I am not healed. So it's not a negative judgment, it's just a fact. You know, you don't feel guilty when you tell somebody, I sprung my ankle, so I'm not going to be able to go jogging with you. You don't take that to be some type of a judgment on your morality or your character. you're able to do it. Well, the same thing is true. But we have a tendency to do that about mental, spiritual issues. To say, we are not healed. Oh, I'm not healed. What's wrong with me? No. That's why you're going through the separation and pain and conflict you're going through. It's not God punishing you, and it's not even us punishing you. It's your fear that's at the root of your conflict. And then it's projected into your world in the form of lack, problem, sickness, separation, guilt, and fear. So this is the easy way out of it. The easy way out is to have it corrected in your own mind. The hard way out is for me to sit up here and want to correct all of you for me to be happy. That's the hard way. Especially when you don't want to do it. And especially since you don't even know what I want you to do. Most people are upset with people for not doing things that people don't even know the person wants them to even do. That's really how insane that is. Well, you just ought to know. If you love me, you just ought to know. So the last sentence goes, for to be healed, see how it describes stuff? For to be healed is to pursue one goal. So if you want to be healed, you pursue one goal. Now, when I first heard that in the course, that was kind of trippy for me, too, because I realized that was the one thing I was not doing. I had goals everywhere. I had a goal for this, a goal for my relationship, a goal for my career, a goal for myself, a goal for my health, a goal for my family. I had goals everywhere. I was goal crazy. How many of y'all got lots of goals? Lots of goals. Okay, and how many of you all are not experiencing complete bliss and ecstasy? Oh, there could be a connection between not pursuing one goal and having a lot of fear and conflict. That's what I like about the course. It's like, would it be easier to pursue one goal, or would it be easier to pursue 100 goals? So this sounds easier. Would it be easier to remember one goal, or would it be more easier to remember 100 goals?
What
you talking about? So it says to be healed is to pursue one goal. Why? Because you have accepted only one, and you won't but one. Why am I going after just one? Because I have accepted one, and I only want one. Then the mind goes, well, what is that goal? What should that goal be? And before I answer that question, or the Course answers that question, because the Course anticipates everything you're going to think before you think it, and so if you keep on reading, it's going to always answer what you was thinking. Because it assumes we don't know nothing. It assumes we don't know what it's saying. So when you read it, even if you don't understand something, keep going. Don't ever stop and say, I'm not going to go any further until I understand this paragraph. I'm not going to go any further. If you do the workbook and you get up to lesson 79 and you drop off, do not go back to the beginning and say, I'm going to start all over and do a fresh start. It's a trick. Start where you left off. Start where you left off. If you don't understand what you're reading, keep on reading. It's a trick to say, I'm going to stop and get it. Because the truth is, you always understand what it's saying. It's just so different from the way you think you're not ready to accept it yet. It says the Course says to understand means to accept and appreciate. So when I say I understand you, it's not saying I've analyzed you and figured you out. When I understand you, Bunny, it means I accept you. And if I accept you, Bunny, I appreciate you. So if I appreciate you, I accept you. I understand you if I appreciate you and accept you. So when somebody don't understand me, they're just not accepting me. What do you mean you don't, I don't understand you? Just listen. I tell you all about me. You want to hear? I'll tell you everything I know. Oh, you didn't like what you heard. Oh, it's not the way you wanted me to be. Oh, so what you going to say? I don't understand you. So you get it? I don't understand. Yes, you do. You just don't want to accept me. You got a script for me. I'm not doing your script. So you say you don't understand me, which means you don't appreciate me. So you don't love me till you appreciate me. You can't say you love me and don't appreciate me. Isn't that deep?
Yeah.
It's so simple. It's so direct. It's so real. And at our core, we know it is. Okay, so I'm going to take a few minutes, not very long, because too much analyzation just destroys the power of everything you just heard. So, any questions or comments about that paragraph? Not that page or that chapter. We only covered a paragraph. Okay.
So, when we're talking about looking out, seeing everything be separate, mm-hmm. is that how the body ends up looking too when we open it up and it's all separate, this, that, the other thing, and we have to, you know, look at the heart because that's the problem, or the liver or whatever. Is that why it looks that way, even though it's probably not really what it is?
Yeah, exactly, because we've learned how to interpret and label and classify.
Hmm.
The Course says what separates things, the thing that separates everything, is we call it names. Huh. See, this really is just the one whatever it is. That's all in this room. It's just whatever it is. But we divide it up into names and sexes and races and books and recorders and microphones. That's us labeling. But it's really just what it is. So I do it with my body. I do it with my feelings. I do it with everything. Yeah. 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 Mm. Yeah.
Hey, I'm new to this. So the judging and labeling, is that like a on earth experience thing? And, you know, the Course is something you're taking. Are you ever going to be healed on this earth here? Or is that something that you're
Yes. Well, what the course is doing is correcting our, is teaching us new interpretations that allow us to maintain our peace of mind.
Well,
and then when we achieve our peace of mind, then we're able to hear our own inner guide. And so to answer, the short answer to your question is, the course's theory is you've already been healed. You just don't know it. And that you're learning all the things you went through to be healed. It's almost like coming home at the end of the day, sitting down in your easy chair, and recapping the whole day. And so you're seeing what you went through to end up in the easy chair at home. So from a Course perspective, we're whole, we're complete. There is nothing missing in us. There is nothing to be fixed in us. And at the same time, the only person that doesn't realize that is the part of us that we identifying with, that we made up, called the ego, which is nothing but our beliefs about ourselves that we've identified with. And since we've identified with those beliefs, we project those beliefs outside of ourselves and we meet them, and we call that our personal individual world. So yes, we are going to be healed. It wouldn't be any point in this if we weren't. You know what I'm saying? But even more than that, the Course says, consider the source. Consider the source of healing. It says many times, do you really think that the infinite creator of the universe, that which is love, that which is whole and complete, do you really think you're so special that you're beyond healing? That's a little too special. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm so special, even God. I'm so screwed up, even God could never fix me. You know, that's really a distorted attempt to be special. The Course calls it just a distorted attempt.
Right?
I'm more messed up than anybody.
Well, another good word for that is training.
The ego is another word for training.
It is what we've been training.
The ego is another term for training.
Yeah.
Exactly.
One of the things that's tripping me out.
Tell me about it.
The whole idea of having a bunch of separate goals,
mm-hmm.
And accomplishing them goals, or to make the goal,
mm-hmm.
Sets me up to also become a goal.
Mm-hmm. A goalie.
Mm-hmm. Everything else coming to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because my entire belief in that there are a bunch of separate goals to accomplish, it attempts to prove to me that I also need to be a goalie as well as try to go out and play the game,
mm-hmm.
in accomplishing and mm-hmm. setting those goals.
Mm-hmm.
And so it not just separates me in one way, but it separates me in two different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And almost automatically.
It can limit you too, right?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to create
a right.
And there's a difference between having lots of goals and having all of your goals and everything you do serve one goal.
Sure.
See, that's the difference. Before the man goes to messing with that and saying, "Oh, something wrong with me having a goal with my children," and the goal. It's like, no, it's different. My relationship with my children has the same purpose as my relationship with you, has the same purpose as my relationship with everything and everybody in my life. It's another opportunity for me to give and receive love. It's another opportunity for me to wake up to who I really am. So I can use everything in my life for the purpose of awakening. And when I use everything in my life for the purpose of awakening, then that gives everything in my life the same purpose, and then that's when everything in your life starts to harmonize, because now there's nothing in your, none of your goals are at cross purposes. For instance, my car brought me over here, but it has tires, transmissions, motors, axles, all kinds of different stuff. But why did it get here? Because all of it had one purpose, to move that friggin' car. But could you imagine how hard it would have been to get here if my motor had conscience and said, "Well, I really want to go down to the pavilion." And then my tires said, "Well, I really want to stay here. You know, I don't feel like going nowhere. I'm tired of being rolled on." You know what I'm saying? It's like, if my car had a bunch of different purposes, my car wouldn't go nowhere. And so that's what the course is trying to get us to see too. You know, it's like, we must give every single solitary person, situation, circumstance, desire, the same purpose. And then in the next sentence it says what that purpose is. What? When you want only love. See, that's the goal, in case you were wondering.
Yeah.
When you walk up the man go, "What's the goal? What's the one goal?" What's your man doing that? Like, well, what is the one goal I should be? And the quote says, "Love is freedom, but freedom is of the mind and not of the body." So my one goal is love means my one goal is freedom, and only that. I want a free mind. I want a mind free of fear, guilt, attack, worry, concern, conflict, anger. I want a free mind, because when you free your mind, your butt will follow. That's right. Your body goes wherever your mind. My body is, only reason why my body is sitting here is because my mind directed it to. You know, it's not like I'm sitting here in my body go, "Well, I've had enough of this. I'm going." That's it. You know what I'm saying? My body goes wherever my mind goes. So the Course says, when you're working to have freedom of the body, you're really focusing on an unreal goal, because there's no such thing as a free body. There's no such thing as an unlimited body. Your mind, all of us in our mind, we could go, let's imagine ourselves 15,000 feet up in the air, circling above the earth. And everybody, if they wanted to right now, could do that. But you couldn't put your body 15,000 feet up in the air right now. Your mind has a freedom, and your thought has a freedom and a power that your body will never have. So to focus on having a free body is a waste of energy. Freeing your mind, a mind free of fear, is going to create loving circumstances. A mind free of the thought of lack is going to create abundant circumstances. A mind that's released from the belief in separation and loneliness and guilt and fear, that mind is just going to naturally go to abundance and peace and love and joy. It doesn't have any choice. Whew. So he says, when you only love, you will see nothing else. The contradictory nature of the witnesses, I love that. The crazy people. The contradictory nature of your witnesses that you perceive, he says, is merely the result, the reflection of your conflicting invitations. I'm inviting love and I'm inviting fear. I'm inviting peace, I'm inviting conflict. I'm inviting guilt, I'm inviting self. So the reason why I have a lot of different people treating me a lot of different ways is I have conflicting invitations in terms of what I've accepted as a goal and what I believe I deserve for myself. Because, you know, my father was an alcoholic and he sometimes was abusive to my mother. So therefore, I'm all messed up and I don't really deserve to have love because of the way I was brought up and because of my sex and because of my race and all the insecurities that of that guy. So there's a part of me that doesn't think I really deserve to have really wonderful, loving people in my life. Then there's another part of me that studies the Course in Miracles and Truth books and The Secret and all the rest of the stuff that's out there right now. And it believes I'm the infinitely powerful child of God that deserves to have all the best. So I have some people that reflect that to me, and I have some people that reflect my fear and insecurity and guilt and anger to me. The conflicting witnesses are coming from my conflicting invitations, and my conflicting invitations are coming from my conflicting feelings about my own self. It's not complex. Now, so do we want to explode? Repeat after me. I'll say it first. Okay. Yes, but.
Ready?
Yes, but. Okay. Didn't that feel good? Didn't that feel a lot better? Yes. Yeah, the contradicting invitation. So the Course says, when I won't only love, I will see nothing else. When I won't only love, I'll have nothing else. When I give only love, I'll receive nothing else. So if some people are loving me and some people seem to be mistreating me, I'm loving me and I'm mistreating me. If some people are generous with me and some people are stingy with me, then I'm generous with me and I'm stingy with me. If some people I have fun with, and some people I wish I could shoot myself when I was with them, or shoot them,
yeah. There you go.
Then there's a part of me that don't like being with me, can't stand being with me. The idea of me being alone by myself, dealing with my own energy, is the last thing I can stand. And then there's a part of me that believes that I'm a cool person. See, so everybody in your perceptual experience, they're just getting you in touch with the conflict and invitations and expectations that you have about yourself. So that's how you know how we can get out of it. That's how we know we can change things. That's how we can have the kind of life we really want to have. Because now we've learned the real secret that's not a secret, which is looking within ourselves, changing within our own consciousness, and then watching the physical perception reflect that change within ourselves. That's a zillion times easier than trying to change your mama. You can spend all your time trying to change your mama, your boss, your child, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, y'all. That's a waste of energy. It's like getting mad at a mirror because it's giving you the reflection of the clothes you're wearing, and you're expecting the mirror to show you with a different set of clothes while you still got them on. Mm-hmm. Don't stop arguing with the mirror. Stop arguing with the mirror. Anybody, you know what I'm saying? If I'm looking in this mirror, right? I wish it wasn't gray hair in this mirror. I wish there wasn't gray hair and a black kind of sweater in this mirror. Why don't you change, mirror? What's your problem, mirror? It's like talking to a person. Why don't you change so I can be happy? Why don't you do something different so I can be happy? Why don't you make yourself a better person so I can be happy? The truth is, if I only see another color sweater, I'll never see it out here until I put on another color sweater myself. Ooh. It's time to put on another color sweater. Thank you very much for hearing this much with me tonight. I appreciate your willingness to hear stuff that you might like and might not like and have a little bit of love. You know, this class might have been full of conflict and invitations. I don't necessarily believe. So if I already think I'm scum of the earth, or I'm not enough, or I'm guilty, or I'm bad, and I'm sinful, and I come to you and you say, you know what, you are guilty and you are sinful, then it sounds like I'm telling you the truth about yourself, and you're attracted to me, and you think I'm telling you the right thing, and you come back and you support, and you tie. But if I say, you are unlimited, you create your reality, all you got to do is look within, is a transformer from without, that you're eternal, that you're perfect, that you're whole, that's not what the average person believes about themselves. So then it brings up a suspicion or a subconscious resistance, which means the person will intend to be a part of it, and they'll intend to want to study, and they'll intend to want to come to the class, but they just can never quite make it. You know what I'm saying? Because you're going to always hang out where you believe the most. You know, what's most in line with, you know, so the mere fact we even attracted each other is a blessing. It means that some part of each and every one of us believes that it deserves the power and the beauty that you've heard tonight come through me. That means you looked inside yourself, you decided you wanted to have somebody acknowledge you for real. Thank you.
Yes, you acknowledge, not just me. It's not just me. Hey, you know, it's just one. You know,
it's like, wow, it's not like stroking my ego to acknowledge me. It's like acknowledging yourself. If this oneness stuff is true, every time we appreciate each other, we appreciate ourselves. And the more you appreciate, the more it's drawn to you to be appreciated. And it just builds on itself. It's so cool. So cool. So Sunday is the next class at 1 o'clock. Think of one idea you'd like to take from today's. Just one. Just one idea you'd like to work. You know. One powerful idea we had was about pursuing one goal, accepting one goal, having one goal, and looking in before you look out. So right now, look at yourself as not the mirror, but the person that's standing in front of it. And so you can change it all. Whatever is happening in your life right now, you can change it, or you can have it changed, because it's just a reflection of inner stuff. Do you want only love?
Yes. Yes.
Then you will see nothing else. See y'all next time.
Can we acknowledge us? Can we give it to us? Yeah. So you people in the house, hugs are available.
I appreciate you all so much. Thanks for being in my dream.